Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. I am Mr. Velvet Pipes himself, the MVP, Mr. Christopher Platt, reminding you all to make sure you go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot and pick up your official, like a referee's whistle, chair shot t-shirt. We've got them all. We've got all colors. We've got all shapes and sizes. We got them all for the men, the women, and the babies, from 8 to 80, blind, crippled, and crazy. It doesn't matter. Make sure you join the movement and go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Pick up your official chair shot t-shirts, ladies and gentlemen. Shalom. And always use your head.
Lots of fun this week. Man, you have no idea how excited I am about some of these topics. But there's a real specific reason why, and it goes like this.
It's Pastoral Down.
You straight punk bitch!
I mean, you're just gonna replace me.
Shut up!
Brenda Morales.
The biggest slut in the Western Hemisphere!
Why do I have to have a buzzer?
And Greg DeMarco.
You are now and will forever be an asshole.
Because it's my show.
And I love you, Greg.
You guys know how to party.
You're welcome.
What is up, everybody? Good Tuesday evening for you if you're listening live, and welcome to this edition of the Greg DeMarco Show. My name is Greg DeMarco. You can find me on the Twitter at ChairShotGreg. It's funny, I almost did the Driving with DeMarco opening, even though I'm sitting at a table, not sitting in a car. But that's just what happens when you do that show too many times. You can find me on the Twitter, like I said, at ChairShotGreg. The Greg DeMarco Show is part of the ChairShot Radio Network, which you can find over at, well, it's thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Go to thechairshot.com, read the articles, listen to the amazing podcasts that we have, like this one, like the hashtag Miranda Show that we'll be recording here in a little bit, like Pod is War, so many others. You can check those out over at thechairshot.com. And then, when you're done, pick up one of those t-shirts that Christopher Platt was just talking about at the beginning of the show by heading over to ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot. Make your purchase. It supports the site, and you get something in return. That would be a t-shirt. I mean, it's, you know, we're not just begging for money. We're going to give you something back, and that's why we do that. So that's, again, ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot, or just go to thechairshot.com, click the store link in the menu. Either way, we'll take you to the same place. That's our t-shirt store, ProWrestlingTees.com. We got an exciting show planned for everybody today, but before we get in there, I mean, you guys know I can't do this alone. I got to welcome in some friends. And that first friend is someone, I mean, if you've ever listened to this show before, you should know this person, because as we're talking about off air, can't do the show without him and all that other BS. So, yeah, it's right. It's Patrick O'Dowd.
F-A-B-U-L-O-U-S.
Made the list 432 is the follower count now in the hashtag Patrick 500. I mean, we are growing at an exponential rate.
We're on our way.
Yeah,
you know, we're on our way.
It's crazy.
Hey, and because I was on my way, I took a first big step that you'd be very proud of, Greg, for me on the Twitter.
Well, I'm scrolling, and I think I know what it is.
Well, I don't think you do. I used the mute button for the first time ever.
What?
I know. I muted somebody. Couldn't take it anymore.
You muted somebody. Who'd you mute?
I don't want to reveal that. What if they're listening?
Oh, come on. Okay, that's fine. Whatever. You don't have to. Is it one of the idiots that was yelling at me? I mean, that doesn't narrow it down.
No. I like, I'm not going to lie. I like that they, like, block you and mute you but never touch me, even though, like, I prominently talk about you, like, all the time. Like, but I know, like, it lets me know how insignificant I am to them. And I'm okay with that because then I get to be around and be like, ah, they said that about Greg.
Yeah, I'm sure you tell everybody that. I'm sure you grab your wife and you're like, hey, Julie, guess what happened? And she looks at you like you're stupid.
The Mrs. O'Dowd does not care one iota.
Of course not. No. Neither does Mrs. DeMarco. Because that's her last name, Patrick. It's DeMarco. That's what it is.
Is it?
DeMarco. Yeah, well, no. But that's what you're going to refer to her as while we're on the air. That's how these games work.
One slip, like 10 years, like one slip. Suddenly, like, we got to remind it every week. Sorry.
Speaking of Twitter followers. She's here until she's not. She's a Twitterless heroine herself. The queen of soft style. Hashtag Miranda, Miranda Morales.
Thank you, Mr. O'Dowd, Mr. DeMarco. It's a pleasure to be here today.
I feel
My
like
goodness,
we're suddenly
so formal.
Like, I know. We're,
yes,
we're
so
Parliament
formal.
All of a sudden.
Yes. Yeah.
Mr. If the man from Wales would spend more time on public policy than his secretary, his province wouldn't be in that. They're not provinces, so I fucked that up. But yeah.
Well,
it's way better when you do it on
British
TV.
Parliament. Yes.
I love British Parliament. I should get a British Parliament soundbite.
I bet you this week's a good week too with their international visitor.
Yeah.
You know, our president.
Jeez. He wouldn't get the joke. That's the problem. Like he would be actually offended by what they were doing.
Oh, I'm sure.
And he would tweet about it.
Everything. Yeah.
Misspellings and bad capitalization.
See,
and everything.
I was just starting to feel fancy because even though I am not on Twitter, I decided to follow AEW and WWE on LinkedIn. So, you know,
But you still have a LinkedIn account?
Yeah.
I have one.
I use it for business and I was compelled to see, hey, what? Who else is on LinkedIn? And sure enough, in my search engine, I typed in All Elite Wrestling, and they have a LinkedIn profile. The search bar, whatever it is. And then I had to be fair, so I also looked up WWE. AEW only has two posts on their LinkedIn, so they got to really – they're way too focused on Twitter and Facebook. They really need to up their LinkedIn profile.
They're way too focused
and get
on
that
things that will actually drive business and not LinkedIn. So, yeah, the search bar, as you enter the World Wide Web and the information superhighway.
Look – I'm just, was anyone else thinking about looking at them at LinkedIn? No. I revolutionized
this. Yeah.
That's great.
You also
didn't
check
even
their
know.
MySpace page.
Yeah, they should. they should. You never know who still uses, you know, MySpace or, is Tout? Tout's like gone, right? Tout like was just there
it exists,
for a second.
It's like a business platform now or something. Yeah. It's,
that's awful. So, yeah, you know, pretty interesting stuff on LinkedIn. You should check it out.
Actually, now Tout is trying to become a personalized TV experience and do with 300 channels of premium programming. So,
okay.
A TV-like experience designed for a highly mobile lifestyle.
TV-like experience. So it's not
television. TV-like.
It's
no,
TV-like.
Live. And on-demand video delivered just at the right moment. Currently touting 85 million viewers per month, more than Facebook, NBC Universal, Yahoo, CBS, or ABC. The fastest growing video audience on the web. Tout.
Right.
That's at corp, C-O-R-P, .tout.com. Using such famous faces as Steph Curry and Stephen Colbert. And The Rock to promote their product on Tout.
Okay.
Count. Yeah. Am I still choppy choppy? I heard what you posted.
No, you're less choppy choppy.
Yay. Less choppy choppy your PP. Oh, the Attitude Era that everyone misses. Oh,
everyone
so much.
Everyone misses it.
It's because they don't watch it anymore. Go back and watch the Attitude Era.
But everything,
no. The
Attitude everything
Era.
That's old is new again. I was
but it's not.
But no, it is. Oh. Like, look at all the movies that are out. Aladdin, The Lion King. Like, literally almost all the movies out there are just things that have been remade. We are in this nostalgia bubble where we just miss everything from the 80s and 90s. The movies are the new 80s. So, of course, that includes the Attitude Era. It all makes sense. It all makes sense.
So why do we have the 24/7 championship?
The people who are talking and like hearkening for the Attitude Era, has anybody gone back and actually watched the Attitude Era? Like,
I have, and I cringe a little bit. I have to admit,
a little bit. It's terrible.
It's entertaining.
Oh, it's so bad. Is it?
Good.
Is it
good.
Really? Or are we just telling it's ourselves? Is this like when people went to see Star Wars Episode One and were so excited about it and that they told themselves that it was really good for like 10 years until they could finally like let go and be like, okay, that sucked. Like this is bad. I don't know. It wasn't that good. Wasn't
all right.
Like,
okay. All right, stop. No one cares. That's a
I
different
care.
Topic. When we're in the slow days of summer, which probably never come because of wrestling.
It's a bunch of bullshit, Greg.
Do,
bullshit.
Do an attitude. Stop trying to transition to what's not next. Just wait.
No way.
It's the order of the show. We must go
right.
by the order. Now
because,
this is like
that happens all the time.
It's totally British Parliament, right? Do they have like an order you have to
nice
go
try,
in?
Though.
I don't know anything about British Parliament.
Me neither. I know more about
right,
Parliament
Greg,
from the
Greg, run the show. You do whatever you want. You know, it's fine. It's just your show.
Okay. We're going to talk about Saturday's TakeOver. You ready?
Sure.
Okay. We're going to talk about the WWE 24/7 Championship changing hands on a golf course. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, I actually do want to talk about that. So, for any thoughts about TakeOver, let's go backwards. Seriously, anybody want to talk about TakeOver? We're not talking about John Moxley, by the way. Someone messaged me. You guys are talking about John Moxley today? No, I'm too tired of John Moxley. It's becoming the CM Punk pipe bomb all over again. I don't want to talk about it.
It didn't take long for it to get there for you either, Greg. Like a week.
It went from, and now I'm talking about it when I fucking said I wasn't going to. It went from, so great. This is so great, and he's being so honest, and it's not really that bad. He's not. And then he does like a 2.5-hour part one interview, and it's like, okay, Vince sucks. And now we got Devil Vince on television, which I think is amazing. But we'll get there too probably if I can. Okay, first of all.
Yeah.
Let me talk about Devil Vince. You guys know what I'm talking about when I say Devil Vince? Did you watch Raw?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the thing, and I've mentioned this on Twitter already, and I'll mention it again. The next time someone tells me Vince McMahon isn't self-aware, I'm giving them the picture of Devil Vince. Like that, for nothing else, show me that Vince knows exactly what people think, exactly what people say, and he does not care. And we should tell everybody it's probably not going to change because it doesn't need to.
Right.
So
Sorry. Calling this out. Who's rearranging furniture?
I'm seated. I haven't moved.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not moving furniture.
Greg, okay. Anyway, sounded like somebody's moving furniture in the background, and we all know that I'm in a basement, so it's not me.
Yes, if we were wondering who was dripping water, it would be you, but
right.
it's not.
I mean,
so you're basically.
But we can go back to TakeOver since that was the original question, right?
Yeah, sure.
You played the soundbite that's probably the most relevant, at least to me, because couldn't happen to a nicer guy. And Adam Cole is awesome. They're not done. But All I could think of when I saw that he won is, honestly, and this is going to sound silly, this is going to sound we're putting ourselves over, how great he was to our show. He did interviews with us. And how great of an interview was. It's one of those things that we've seen him in ROH and you know, before he signed with NXT, and he was one of those people, and I don't know if it was you, Greg, but like we're like, that one's going somewhere. And here we are. He's still going somewhere. So awesome.
Oh yeah.
And a terrific match between him and Gargano.
I've said it a million times and I'll say it again. If Adam Cole were 6'4" and 250 pounds, he would be Roman Reigns' greatest rival in WWE right now. But he's not those things, so he's NXT champion.
Right.
And I'm okay with it. And it's, you know, yesterday for Man Crush Monday, I probably would have made a post about Adam Cole. What's funny is that I watched TakeOver on a delay, because it was Saturday night, you know, started at 4 o'clock, and I didn't even get home at like 6. Didn't have anything spoiled for me. You know, I did a good job of that. And what happened 2.5 hours later, I'm on the edge of my seat. Just begging for Adam Cole to win. Like I got sucked in a good way. And because I just wanted one guy to win. Did you notice the crowd was more behind Adam Cole too? Like they were definitely more cheering for him more than Johnny Gargano.
Well, I mean, I think there's an argument, and we've talked about this a lot of times. Johnny Gargano is way more interesting when he's chasing a belt, not when he has a belt.
Mm-hmm.
He sure is.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Totally.
It's just like, you know, you and I followed Ring of Honor. When Homicide won the Ring of Honor world title, there was nothing left for him to do. He lost it in his third defense because it didn't make any sense for him it took him a year and a half to win it, and at that point, it didn't matter. So it's sometimes once the chase is over, that's why that injury, you know, wasn't the best thing to happen to Daniel Bryan, but it was the best thing to happen to Daniel Bryan's world title run. Because the WrestleMania 30 run, because at that point, you couldn't top WrestleMania 30, no matter what you did with him. So that's where we're at. And a lot of people thought that about Kofi, and here we are until Friday when Brock cashes in on Kofi and leaves with the WWE Championship. But
don't say that. Don't.
We're not talking about that because it's show in Saudi Arabia, and Patrick won't want to do that. So
no.
Exactly. So let's transition to the 24/7 championship. And of course, it changed hands some more on SmackDown tonight. But I want to talk about the golf course scene. And first of all, bravo to Stephen Mitchell, who, unprompted on anything, as soon as that happened, put up Mitchell's WWE 24/7 championship coverage and did a coverage article on it on the chair shot for that, just in its brilliance. Without missing a beat. Like, this is just how lucky we are to have people like that. But I just love the golf course title change. And I love it for everything that everyone's complaining about. Like, Jinder Mahal shows up at a golf course where R-Truth is playing golf. At least you think he's playing golf. We never saw him play golf with Carmella.
Right.
And he's in full gear. And everyone, like, even Lance Storm was upset about this. Here's what I don't – okay. When I saw that, and my first thought was, of course, Jinder Mahal was in full gear. He is a professional. Like, go back to the WrestleMania 33 Battle Royal, and you'll see why he ever received a push. He made Gronk look like $1 million. That's what he was there to do. He did it. That's what he got. What I hated, everyone's complaining that Jinder Mahal is in full gear, yet not a single person complained that there was a fully dressed referee at a golf course.
They golf in their
Greg,
gear, man.
There's a lot of people out in referee shirts. We've seen this firsthand. I mean, granted, we were all at a wrestling
That's
event.
True.
But we counted, Greg, at the Royal Rumble, like 11 referees. People at the Royal Rumble, people were cosplaying and stuff. More people were in referee shirts than anything. I'm thinking, are they all
11?
Referees? Who knows? Yeah, who knows?
11 referees, two
a lot
Baileys.
Of freelancers.
I remember
there.
This.
Yeah,
a lot
of freelancers.
A lot of freelancers. Hey, you know, same thing at Money in the Bank. I think they were there just in case things got too out of hand. Like, say Brock Lesnar shows up unexpectedly to lay waste to like everything in his path, and they need some extra officials to watch what happens. Like, that's even though they were up in the upper levels, like behind me, up at the top of the XL Center, they were there on standby.
Well, you never know.
I mean, you don't.
Well, those tickets are not cheap. So your referee shirt's already expensive. So
yeah.
You gotta. I really hope that a fan and somebody in a referee shirt approach R-Truth in an airport. Like, that's just it'd be so wrestling for someone to do that. But
well, it doesn't matter now. Did R-Truth? Have you not watched SmackDown yet?
He won it back.
Did he win it back again?
He won it back under the ring.
What, today?
Yeah, he lost it in the with Lumberjack match to Elias, and then while they were fighting, Elias escaped under the ring, and then R-Truth met him under the ring, pinned him under the ring, and then left him. What I learned from that video is that they actually have a ceiling light hanging from the ring under the ring.
So, well, yeah, that makes a lot of sense though.
Yep,
that
and
makes
a monitor.
A ton of sense.
And there's a monitor under the ring, which
right.
I also understand, and I've heard about.
They pulled back the curtain there.
It's
they did. They really
did. Mini lounge, you know. Especially,
yeah.
Truth was already under the ring during Raw, so
yeah, he's very familiar.
He already made a combination.
His domain.
The under the ring spot, by the way, from Raw was outstanding.
It really was.
That was outstanding. That was good.
He was borderline creepy with the look on R-Truth's face. Like, it was so perfect.
Can we talk about how great R-Truth's Hall of Fame speech is going to be?
Oh yeah,
like it's going to be amazing. Like,
and despite the longevity of his career, at this point, Carmella has to induct him into the Hall of Fame.
Oh hell yeah!
Oh yes, but I also feel it's Carmella will be the one to take the title off him. Like, it's going to happen. Like, something is going to happen.
Everybody's waiting for it.
Everyone's waiting for that turn, and I will definitely be pretty excited when that happens. Like, that will
be a crushing turn.
I'm going to be crushed. When she,
I don't think
she
it'll
turns,
be a turn.
What do you mean it's not going to be a turn? Everyone's going to be in shock.
And I think they will completely change. And I think Truth will then become the protector of Carmella, the same way Carmella is the Truth now.
See, I think that makes way more sense. Yeah. I like that idea better.
Maybe
you can't break those two up.
Well, and that's true. Maybe they beat each other and that it keeps going back and forth with them, so nobody else can have it.
Yeah, like, whose turn is it? Okay, it's your turn to be champion. They lay down. Yeah, I can see that too, and they'll trade it back and forth 12 times.
Freebird it. Freebird the 24/7 rule. That'd be awesome.
That would be so good if have a trio. Too bad they broke up all those the multi-person teams. Because Sanity holding those as a trio would be really hilarious, but can't do that when they're all on different brands now. So maybe Lucha House Party, Miranda's favorite.
Yes, they're my boys right now. I mean, they have piñatas, little mini piñatas in their piñatas. I mean, I'm take my money. I'll have all the piñatas.
I know this is a little off topic. I'm sorry, but you brought up all this stuff. Apparently, Lars Sullivan talked today, and it was like not good.
He shouldn't talk anyway. He's talked before, but I didn't see it yet. But there's just. He is like Aleister Black, shouldn't talk.
Gotcha.
So, but yet they
That's like not surprising at all.
No, not at all.
Yeah, it doesn't. See, man, it's a bigger stage too. You know, I wasn't a big fan of his mini interview he had with Charlie a few weeks ago. Even though it was just literally a few words, I think if he does do it. Very contained, very short, you know, very controlled environment. Because especially in a live audience, they're gonna eat him up, and it's just not gonna go well. But
well, and I mean, I'm not trying to sound bad, but he's got a lisp that makes Cody Rhodes jealous. Like it's there, and you've got to work around those. Just like you work around somebody's abilities in the ring, you work around somebody's abilities in cutting promos. And
right.
It's just, why have certain people cut promos when you already have a bajillion people cutting promos? And look, it's less tasking on the writers to have less promos for them to script. But I wasn't going to talk about Jon Moxley. So we are going to transition to another topic. But first...
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have any notes? guess you don't know.
I don't.
Patrick DeVitt guesses.
Oh, God, I should, but I don't.
So it's almost over. We'll just bring it down even
is
further. It is the guy with the garbage.
Is it Duke the Dumpster Drozzi?
The Dumpster Drozzi.
Agencies around the world are receiving breaking news that CM Punk has sneezed while at a hockey game, which clearly indicates he has signed a new contract with WWE. He then confirmed his return by tweeting something completely unrelated to wrestling. Backstage sources believe he'll come back at SummerSlam, but plans may change.
Patrick, this is Leanne Marie, and I just wanted to say that I love Patrick O'Dowd.
Oh, I'm out of snow. Bullshit, 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 bullshit.
The Wrestling Realist Patrick O'Dowd's Bullshit Internet Report of the Week.
By the way, for those long-standing listeners of the show, Leanne Marie has had her baby now. So there you go.
Oh, nice.
We'll update for you, yeah. And Patrick never got to cash in his Money in the Bank contract. So,
yep. I got all of it.
You did. You did. All right, Patrick. You know what to do.
So, I love that you were, like, denying that we're going to talk about John Moxley today. Oh, because all three of these articles that we're about to talk about.
Damn it.
Yeah, yeah. So, but you know what? I think it ties in pretty well to some of the things you're going to, you know, talk about as far as...
Oh, you know what? Not doing it. Sorry.
It's a shameful thing. Lost her head.
Just kidding. Go ahead.
If you could have had the thank you for calling Blog Talk Radio lady spliced at the end of that famous thing.
Oh, that's a good one.
That would be amazing. Thank you for listening. That would have been a beautiful one.
Like the what she says at the end of the show that the listeners can't hear. That would be amazing.
Right.
That would be amazing. Thank you for choosing Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye. Fuck off. Oh, go ahead.
So Dave Meltzer's been very busy. I guess that's what we should title this. So Greg did a great job of pulling up two articles that I had shared that were reporting out stuff from the Wrestling Observer Radio, and then one other that I think was a link within that Greg shared out to. So I'm going to try to go through these in order. And the first one is the longest, so I'm going to try to summarize it as best I can. The headline for this one was Backstage Update on Reaction to John Moxley Comments on the WWE, comma, many wrestlers reportedly want out of WWE to go to AEW. And so this was posted – oh, actually, it was posted today.
Yeah, today.
During today's edition of Wrestling Observer Radio, that – horrible thing that Dave Meltzer does to put himself over as if he knows things.
just wait.
So he discussed the recent comments made by John Moxley about the WWE, Vince McMahon, WWE creative process from the Talk is Jericho podcast. And now more recently, he's done an interview with Wade Keller, which is a much longer, more detailed podcast interview. If you haven't listened to it yet, go give it a listen if you want. According to Meltzer, while some of the reactions to the interviews have been varied, he hasn't heard from anyone from the WWE side adopt the party line of going, he's disgruntled or he's making it up. He then reinforced that he hasn't heard any strong denials of Moxley's statements, even from people he knows are not fans of John Moxley and believes it's, quote, difficult to make him happy. Meltzer stated, quote, nobody has said anything. That he said he isn't true. Nobody has said anything that he said isn't true. Like, you don't have guys coming out and going, oh, he's exaggerating this. Or like, oh, this didn't happen. He's making it up. Right? Nobody has said anything like that. He also thinks that everything Moxley has stated in his interviews about the WWE system being broken is true. They go on to talk about how this reiterates an earlier report by Fightful about several... wrestlers and employees agreeing with a lot of what he had to say from his recent interview. And then finally, Meltzer stated that there's a lot of people who want to go to AEW right now, where Moxley is currently signed. Meltzer went on to say that AEW has a lure for wrestlers right now because they can still make good money and have more creative control over their work and their promos, noting that the next 12 months in the industry will be interesting. Do you want to dissect or do you want me to continue?
Because
I can move to the next one if you want.
Well, okay. Well, the next one is I pulled the next one, and it's a LinkedIn this one.
That's the embedded one.
It's for a completely different reason. The next one has less to do with the John Moxley content and more to do with an approach taken by Dave Meltzer. So if we want to talk about the actual topic, then this is the one for it. I will say this about the end. And it's funny because Fightful is the one that keeps talking about how people want out. And it's, you know, everybody kind of has their slant on this. It's almost like they're working together. But that's not a conspiracy theory that Vince Russo's into. So it doesn't matter. But the end where it says, additionally, Meltzer stated there's a lot of people who want to go to AEW right now. Again, we've said it before. Wrestling news with a Z works because people want it to be true. And what's the definition of a lot? Is five a lot? Because that's a lot of people who would want to leave WWE. Or is 20 a lot? Because that's a whole lot of people. Like, it's just, you know, but people are going to immediately assume that everybody wants to go. And I don't think that everybody wants to go. Even recently, somebody tweeted at Carl Anderson, and Carl Anderson was like, dude, everything's great. So, you know, and then yesterday he tweeted, oh, there's a brand split. So it's just little things here and there. But it's just, you know, they're going to keep reporting these things because you guys keep clicking on it because we keep talking about it. And there's really just no other way around it. So it, to me, I guess it's more of the same. More of the same to me.
Right, and I think that what I find really interesting about this, and it's the same thing that we talk about, all of this stuff that Moxley's talked about in these interviews, hasn't really been all that surprising to anyone.
No.
Like, at all. And so, you know, Dave's talking about how nobody in the WWE is denying this or anything like that. Like, well, why? Because he's telling a tale of, like, him going to Vince and, like, Vince not liking things, you know, and going with what Vince wants, it being stupid and him not agreeing with it. Like, he's not saying anything that, like, why would they be like, well, he's full of shit? Because maybe he's not and doesn't like their process. And then, like you said, the whole thing about, a lot want out. I think that's, you know, there are people in the company right now who are probably like, I would be better off at AEW.
Sure.
That statement isn't bullshit just because it's so vague, it's true. Like, it's so vague,
it's
true.
And there's a whole other side to that I'll get to in a second, but let's let somebody else talk about this for a second.
Right.
No, I mean, I agree a lot with what you're saying as far as the vagueness of his statements overall with, you know, a lot of people are wanting to leave. Doesn't give any kind of indication of who they are. And, of course, you know, for the sake of being an insider can't, and I say, you know, quotations mark insider, but also it just, seems like, and we'll talk more about this, so much inconsistency with stories that were published before or information that if he really would have known it, he could have talked about it or mentioned it previously, but yet seems to just kind of be going off news that currently happens and then, you know, trying to make a new story out of it instead of actually revealing things that, you know, could be considered insider information that we don't know. So to me, I look at it and I don't read it as news. I read it more as an opinion. And it just happens to be that he is, you know, been known all over the place and especially by fans as this, you know, exclusive source of information. And maybe at one point it was, but now he's just sharing his opinions and it's still being taken as fact. So being able to distinguish the line between someone's opinion about what something should be or is or maybe, you know, is very different than what actually is in hard truth and fact.
Yes. Yeah, that's all very, very true. I agree completely. And it's a lot of more of the same. And even when Patrick was given his opinion, it was a lot of his opinion from last week. And that's just because that part hasn't really changed. So I put out a tweet. I know Patrick saw it. Myrna, you may have seen it. It basically asking people – I put out a tweet, I think it was yesterday, where I said, you know, everybody wants a fantasy book. Who's going to go from WWE to AEW? So I said, who's going to be the first person to go from AEW to WWE? And I got an interesting mix of answers. The most popular answer ended up being MJF. Actually, I think he was the second most popular answer behind Britt Baker. Mm-hmm. And we all know why Britt Baker was the answer everyone said. Even though she's a practicing dentist and may not want to leave that right now. But of course, she could always go back to that in the future. So that's a possibility too. But the big thing for me is you know, a lot of people replied with why would they ever want to do that? And they don't remember what the Monday Night Wars were like when contracts come up and people want to make more money and not everybody can stay in AEW and things are going to change. And that was more the same too. Like people were just so dumbfounded how I could even suggest that people would want to jump in the other direction. But of course they're going to want to jump in the other direction. But it's more about what people want to hear and what people want to believe. And that's what I learned from that one. Like seeing that, the response to that question, and I expected some of that. I expected the people to be like, well, I literally have people that said that'll never happen. Now, Patrick, do you believe that that'll never happen, that no one will ever go from AEW to WWE?
Yeah, that's adorable. That's so cute.
That's so cute.
Well, because this is I love the naivety that you have to be able to believe that this is going to be such a wrestling utopia that everybody who goes to work there will find it to be the greatest experience, the most transformative thing they've had in their entire life. Like
when one guy already didn't.
Right. When one guy's already been like, I'm out.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
It's going to be like every workplace, and even some of those big ideal dreams, you know, even people in AEW, I'm sure even now, especially those who have never worked for the company, so many dream about being at WrestleMania and working at WrestleMania, or, you know, being able to travel all over the world or whatever it is. There are going to be some things that WWE, that experience, will be able to provide you that AEW won't. And there's also still going to be a ceiling for some people. There's still going to be people who at AEW may not go above a certain level, no matter how hard they tried. And again, that's going to be, to me, the interesting thing is that when push comes to shove, when talent, you know, the fans want a talent that maybe AEW at the time is not pushing, how they respond to it, to me, is going to be how they define themselves as a company, because that is one thing that they have mentioned, that they're going to listen to fans. But if they don't, and maybe someone is still stuck or they feel stuck or that they can't progress, they may move and they may get an awesome deal from WWE. And of course, there's always going to be pros and cons from, you know, one company to another. But just because you are going into this, you know, seemingly ideal place or the new kid on the block or this startup company doesn't mean you're still not going to have some of these feelings of what if possibly, or, you know, wanting to do things in your career that maybe you just can't with AEW.
You want to know what I think is a good comp of what we're going to see it happen at some point?
What's that?
Is we're going to X-Pac.
Yeah.
We're going to have an X-Pac where, I mean, we got a guy who jumped once, then was fired, but came back and was just all up in the business of that company.
Yeah, both sides.
Like we're gonna have that moment. Like we're gonna have that at some point, I believe. If this really gets ramped up the way that we want it to, and it is really about the way we want it to.
I really want it to. I'll be honest.
I do. I think it's good for wrestling. I think it's really good for wrestling, but. This is gonna sound like such an old man sort of thing. Like we were there for the first one, the first go around, or some of the people that are going nuts over this, were they even there? Like I'll go back. I pulled the question that I posed way back when a week ago that got me all the Twitter followers was what were fans this silly during the Monday Night Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people were like, well, I was in grade school, so I don't know. There you go.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's what we're looking at. So you
well,
don't know.
You can even look at magazines. I remember looking at whole editions of, you know, of course, the Wrestling Observer when they were still printed or whatnot, or other wrestling magazines. Of fantasy booking and this and that. It just was in a different format because the internet wasn't as prevalent. Now that people can type and tweet and post whatever they want, it's exploding even more. People are setting this to be a war because they want a war. Wrestling,
right.
One of the fundamental things about wrestling is built around drama. And this is the most dramatic thing to happen to wrestling in years. So, of course, fans are adding fuel to the fire, and they're going to gravitate towards any story that perpetuates a war, quote-unquote.
But is it really a war when one side's not fighting it?
It is, in my opinion, and because they eventually will. Because they don't have to fight until October. But once AEW
right.
goes on television and has any modicum of success, then it's truly going to be a war. And I think they will have that modicum of success as long as they don't get stuck at, like, midnight or something, which I don't think they will. I think they'll get a good spot on television, because I've looked at the ratings currently for the shows that are on TNT on those nights, and unless it's sports, it doesn't do very well. Because remember,
yeah.
I've become the ratings guy thanks to
right.
the past
I mean,
few months of covering the ratings.
They know drama.
Exactly. Yeah, it'll be there. They know drama, and they want drama. And so, plus, if you're AEW, and you just mentioned, Patrick, you know, they're the company that listens to the fans. Well, the fans want a war, so AEW's going to have to give them one if they're going to listen to the fans. Which I'm fine with. I mean, Cody doing
well, I thought
the whole
thing. I thought they were four wrestlers by wrestlers. I missed that one. Are they that too?
Well, that's never gonna work anyway.
So that's to quote, but technically, when they did the big press junket and all that, they did, you know, in the press release, I think too, mentioned something about, you know, being more conscious about fans or something like that. So
yeah, no, that's fine.
That to me, that's also why, again, when push comes to shove, they say these things, it's printed, it's out there, but how they truly handle that, that's going to be the interesting part.
Right.
Again, I've said it, my favorite jump, I can't wait for it. It's going, in my opinion, if I were to put money on one person jumping from WWE later, I still say it's going to be Randy Orton. I just think because he's going to be like, who's going to pay me more? And AEW offers a better schedule. And the schedule has been an issue for Randy for the past couple of years. I think Orton's going to go. And I think Triple H is going to be like, let him go. Let him go. And then he'll come back. Like, I bet Ty Dillinger ends up back in WWE if he has a good run in AEW. Mm-hmm. He's just making himself more valuable. What I want to say on this point before we move on to the next one, think about people, someone like MJF, who we talked about, someone like Kylie Rae. They didn't grow up always wanting to wrestle for AEW.
Right.
They either grew up wanting to wrestle for WCW, which doesn't exist, or WWE, most likely. And that's still going to be there. The childhood dream doesn't go away because a new company showed up. So I still think a lot of these people, in the back of their head, when their contract is up and they've been there for 2, 3, or 4 years, that childhood dream's going to creep back up, and they're going to want their WrestleMania moment. And next thing you know, because there's going to be opportunities for people to not have to go to NXT and all these other things, or people are going to want to go to NXT. Who knows? But this is just beginning, like just beginning. So,
I hope it makes it.
Oh yeah, me too.
Because Eric Bischoff made a really good point on his show this past week. It just dropped yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That there's still a couple of significant hurdles that they really are going to have to face and deal with, that, and particularly around advertisers and that sort of support to keep them going. And so they're by no means just out of the sort of getting off the ground woods just yet. And that's really important.
100%, completely important. So let's go to the next one, because the next one's good.
So I'm going to assume are you talking about the note on how John Moxley was perceived by Creative?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the very next link.
Well, just making sure you have them in the right order. So this also is from our good friend Dave Meltzer in the latest episode of the Wrestling Observer Radio. Meltzer spoke about how Moxley was viewed by officials in the WWE during his time there, especially when he was butting heads with creative and Vince McMahon over things like promos. He said, quote, "I can tell you from the other side of the fence, because obviously I heard the other side while all this was going down at the end of all this." That is a god-awful sentence, Dave, and you should be ashamed of yourself. "The feeling from the other side is that there was nothing they could do. Dean Ambrose is one of those these guys you just can't make happy, and that's what it's going to be."
Well, to his defense, that wasn't written by Dave Meltzer. What I want to do is if you can – well, I mean, the stuff in italics that you read.
Yeah,
can you read the first sentence again?
"I can tell you from the other side of the fence, because obviously I heard the other side while all this was going down at the end of all this."
Okay. Can you read from the word "because" to the word "side"?
"Because obviously I heard the other side."
This is trademark Dave Meltzer. Now, I joked with you guys in our Facebook conversation that I'm starting to crack the code on Dave Meltzer. And this one jumped out at me big time when I read it. Now, first of all, I listened to the conference call that they did with Triple H, and
yep.
I made fun of everyone for calling him Paul. But I have to go back and change that, because he was introduced as Paul to everyone. So, I think if you called him Hunter, you would look like a mark. So I get that. That's fine. I'm okay with that. But during that conversation, everyone asked a lot of good questions. They were good. You could tell, like, when they actually get in front of, or quote-unquote in front of, because it's over the phone, someone like Triple H, like, they suddenly – they're probably sit up straighter and really want to ask a real legit question versus their stupid Twitter takes. Except Dave Meltzer. Dave Meltzer, in his question, I don't remember what it was, but he basically presented Triple H with two long-winded scenarios – with his opinion infused in both of them, that Triple H ended up having to pick between, thus automatically agreeing with Dave Meltzer. So now it's on record that Triple H has agreed with Dave Meltzer, all just because of the way he asked the question. Then you fast forward to this quote: "I can tell you from the other side of the fence, because obviously I heard the other side." Now, if you've never listened to Dave Meltzer, or if you've been listening to Dave Meltzer forever, when you hear that, that phrase is said to psychologically make you believe, of course he knows. Obviously I heard the other side. Of course you heard the other side. You're Dave Meltzer. Like, this is – he's literally doing this down to the psychological level to get people to believe what he says. Because obviously he heard the other side. Well, how we don't know if he really heard the other side. Everyone just assumes, because the guy was connected at one point and he can still get facts and figures that are publicly available, that he knows what he's talking about. And to me, like, this is just garbage. I mean, that's why I used Duke the Bedrosi's theme song, because this type of stuff is utter garbage. Again, it's just more buying into what people want to hear. The feeling from the other side was there was nothing they can do. Dean Ambrose is just, you know, one of those guys you just can't make happy, and that's what it's going to be. You could have discerned all of that just by listening to his Talk Is Jericho interview.
Right.
Patrick said it himself. Pat, you said, you even tweeted after the Talk Is Jericho interview, Dean Ambrose was a guy who wasn't happy with his employer. When his contract was up, he left. Like, that's
right.
What you said was the same exact thing that Dave Meltzer just said, except you said it from the other side of the fence, because obviously you heard the other side of the fence because you listened to the podcast.
Right.
This
yep.
is garbage, and this is what he does. And I feel like I have to buzzer myself if I keep talking about it.
Can you buzzer yourself? Because it'd be awesome.
Of course I can buzzer myself. So this is garbage. Like, the fact that Dave Meltzer is doing this is just
I like
it. I mean, why do I have a buzzer?
Oh,
so many buzzers. That's
you like that.
A lot. Well, I do like that one, but that's usually a celebratory, and you know, it is.
Right.
I think it is good to really pinpoint anything. I asked you this in the message. Is it more of tells that he has, or anything like that he does? I think it's important as fans to be able to note that and find those patterns and in the way that he presents information, because then you start to pick up on things that, you know, you realize that's not accurate, or he just said the complete opposite just a few weeks or a few months ago. So either he is just really going along with what is being told at that moment and then making a story out of it, or he's being fed false information, from which I understand has happened before, just because it's a fun thing to do, for lots of different things. And so it's important that, like, you've mentioned this before, both of you, about how do you find factual and reliable pieces of information, and how can you do that as a fan and educate yourself on it? And by even being able to pull out the bullshit of that, or just pulling out, you know, inconsistencies or just vagueness, it helps really show what isn't there. And so, I definitely have gotten an education on it, just because it wasn't something that I consciously thought about before. And now really getting in deeper into this and seeing the differences, it's definitely changed my outlook on being a fan. And also, trying to find the right pieces of information and believing that, and taking a grain with salt, if not completely ignoring others.
Yeah, it's hard. It's really, really hard to pull it all out. And it comes for years of doing this and years of trying
you've
to figure
seen
this
the
out.
Same stuff.
Yeah,
so
you
much.
Do.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with the ratings. Like, I know so much more about TV ratings with things we've learned
right. When
Patrick and I did the ratings episode, and with all the stuff that Eric Bischoff has talked about on the air, and even Bruce Pritchard. But then when I take all of that information and I actually see the ratings from a week-to-week basis and have to talk about it and cover it, then I realize, oh, like, this actually makes sense when you start to look at it from a place of somewhat understanding, a place of wanting to understand. But
right. To
answer your question, Miranda, how you get to that point is the same way, the same answer to how do you watch Raw and enjoy Raw. You have to go into it willing to. You have to go into Raw
right. Willing
to have enjoyment to actually enjoy Raw. And you have to read Dave Meltzer's news willing to believe it might not be true to actually see these things and to get past the smokescreen and understand what's going on. Because no one even wants to hear what we're talking about right now, because they want it to be true. If Dave Meltzer was out here telling you that AEW was going to be in trouble and that WWE was going to swallow them up in 10 years, he would become the most hated man on the internet, and that would be bad for his business, so he won't do that. But he's telling the people what they want to hear, not what they need to hear.
Right.
It reminds me of those comedy scenes of someone who pretends to be a medium, and they start by saying, you know, little pieces of information to try and get the other person to agree with them. I'm starting to, you know, I feel like that's a lot of the stories is, you know, someone being able to pull a piece of information of kind of a bunch of other things he says to pull the news out of it. And I'm sure that's something that, you know, other people do, but you know, when in doubt, think about it that way. Is he truly a psychic? And if he's not saying anything concrete, then it's probably just a smokescreen.
Yeah, it's like when
the
psychic shows up and they're like, I see you, you work in a building, you work on a floor. I work on the second floor. Yeah, I see you walking on the second floor. And they're like, oh my God, you do. Well, you idiot, you just told them. Like, it's Meltzer.
Well, yeah, I think that's a very apt way of describing a lot of the sort of wrestling news as we've talked about it today, is that a lot of it is letting the fans set themselves up to hear what they want to hear. Like, I think that's accurate.
Yeah.
Right.
And I, like, especially now. Now it is a very exciting time in wrestling, and now that we have the potential for a new company to step up and really take a strong foothold in the business, it gets people excited. But people reminisce, going back to what you were talking about, Patrick, earlier, people fondly reminisce on the Monday Night Wars, because I also feel like that was a time that people felt like their viewership mattered, that they were being sought after, they were being courted, that two companies did their best to get people to care about them. And now with the WWE just kind of saying, well, you know, this is what you get, this is what we got, and now fans kind of feel courted again. They feel special. They feel like there's someone else who's going to try and capture my attention. And so I think that translates to the news that comes out, where now outlets are doing the same, where they're trying to pull in information to get, you know, different viewers and readers. And people feel like, now I have, you know, whatever your outlet is or whatever your specialty or whatever your even opinion is, there's going to be someone out there who shares that and you can gravitate towards, good, bad, or indifferent.
Let's do the next one. Let's see what's on the next, the third one.
Yes.
So the third one, I think is outstanding, just because it's funny. But the headline, again, this is something that came from Dave Meltzer, though, as Greg called me out for yesterday, we pulled it off of our good friends at Ringside News' website. But the headline is that the WWE copied AEW Double or Nothing comedy spot this week on Raw. R-Truth and Carmella were able to escape this week from Raw, and Killings is still the 24/7 champion, but they pulled it off with a very familiar spot to make it happen. WWE and AEW need to watch each other's shows. That's still talking. Dave Meltzer pointed out during Wrestling Observer Radio that they seem to copy a segment on Raw this week that was very familiar for fans. This asshole wrote the same thing in three different paragraphs.
Because you got a minimum workout you got to meet.
Like, Jesus Christ.
How it works.
Because it was almost identical to the spot the Young Bucks did before Double or Nothing, where they hit someone with a double super kick, causing papers to fly all over the place. The quote, did you notice that the spot with Carmella and Drake Maverick was the exact spot that the Young Bucks did with Cody's buddy, with the papers flying, like, exact from the Double or Nothing show last week? Like, the show right at the beginning where this guy's playing security? I mean, he throws the papers, exactly. I mean, Jesus Christ, I would never copy the other guy's, you know, comedy spot that they just did the week before.
Look, he does it again. He did it again.
Yep.
He, did you notice? Like, again, pointing out how smart he is. I would never copy the other guy's comedy spot.
Right.
Now, here, okay, so if what if AEW did the spot this week that WWE did last week? He would either A, not point it out, or B, talk about how much better AEW did it than WWE.
Right. Well, he knows who pays him.
Well, they're not even paying him. I think they're just giving him information that he can
no,
they don't
fans.
Have to pay him.
Like, the people
who listen
to him or subscribe to him, like, those,
that's
he
true.
Knows who paid them.
Yeah, he's like, on that wagon big time. Read the next sentence after the quote, though.
The perhaps Vince McMahon didn't know that this was the same spot or even similar because he didn't watch AEW Double or Nothing. Either way, McMahon probably loved it because it made it on WWE's television show.
I mean, Felix, come on.
What?
Come on, Felix.
What?
Like,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, probably loved it because it made it. Yeah. If it's on TV, he loved it.
Yeah, it's a patently stupid sentence.
Okay,
yeah.
Here's the thing. Let me ask you this question. Did the Young Bucks and Brandon Cutler, who produces most of these videos that they shoot, and if you watch Being the Elite, you'll see him producing this same exact video that this guy's talking about. Did they invent somebody throwing papers everywhere?
Yes.
No.
Like, did. You didn't know that?
This has probably happened on WWE television twice in the past year before
yeah.
this week and before
that. Well,
it
happened in entertainment.
Yeah,
like,
everyone
knows
the famous,
name a comedy.
Yeah, the famous Shawn Michaels kick to Ty Dillinger at the time, it wasn't even that. But, like, that's the most famous – that was the first thing I thought of, and that was years ago, you know? And so if everyone's
and
copying
Dillinger
each other –
Ty Dillinger was there.
Yes.
Double or Nothing. It was probably his idea.
So, yeah. It's wrestling. Everyone copies everyone at one point of time, even if it happens. But this is such an asinine – It's a really asinine comment, just because you're nitpicking at the littlest thing and finding it. I made a joke, the Meltzer code, it's almost like the Da Vinci code. You're kind of like pulling things in that are so random and trying to pull in, you know, moments and items to create this story, to perpetuate this, you know, war, to perpetuate, they're watching each other, they're doing this to each other, and we'll continue to see it every week. One little thing that someone does or says will be the next thing to perpetuate this into the next week and the next week and the next week until it builds this monologue of they've been doing this for months. They hate each other, you know, as we get into October. And then that's the real fun starts because in the weekly shows.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The story building.
We're just getting started. Yeah, this is nothing. This is not. I mean, we got so much more.
So let's welcome Miranda officially into the anti-Dave Meltzer fold because this is the most she's talked and railed on Dave Meltzer ever. In fact, I barely got to talk about how stupid Dave Meltzer was because Miranda took care of it for us. So welcome
great
to the
job.
Team.
Well done.
Welcome.
I'll take it. I don't still don't hate very many people, but I look through the bullshit.
But so you still give him money? Is that what
I've never given him money. I have never given him money. Please, I have
Describer.
Heard the Describe. Show on other what? On outlets that I have already.
So you're getting through nefarious means.
Yes, I'm. Well, hey, if I'm
clever.
Getting my money, yes, very clever.
Let me ask you a question. Let me just lay it all on the table here. Do you really think we believe you? Like.
No, but
the way
truth
you used
is
to
hard
reference
to believe.
It,
apparently, the truth
is
so
what you
hard
think?
To believe. For you, yes. At
you
least for me,
it doesn't matter what you think.
That was for you,
I
Patrick.
I actually smell a conspiracy here.
Ooh, do you?
Like, I'm starting to wonder if Miranda is in some way.
Do tell.
Like, who do you really work for, Miranda?
Who do you work for?
Have you been sent by Meltzer to infiltrate the DeMarco show?
No.
Yes. Just like how Moxley is infiltrating AEW, it's a big work. You found it out. And
we have a mole.
Yeah, he's a mole for Meltzer. Mole for Meltzer. Hashtag mole for Meltzer. Hashtag Miranda.
It's a Meltzer mole. Miranda.
There's a Meltzer mole. Not named Rover. Oh, sorry, Trevor. My bad.
He's kind of gone anti-Meltzer lately, by the way. That's the interesting thing.
Yeah,
I think so.
Usually only comes after me when I rip on Meltzer, so.
Yeah, I think he's come around. I don't know. He doesn't block me anymore, so.
Oh, good for
why.
Him.
Yeah, nice. He should, but he doesn't.
Yeah. I love how like you warn people, like, you should probably be blocking me, but it's
well,
okay
he was
don't.
Like the original one to come after me on.
Right, I remember that.
On the Twitter. Like, he was. Yeah, he's OG on that one. I can't even find him right now. Maybe he does block me again. I don't know. Because I can't find him at all. Yeah, we'll see.
I think he's still on
there. Oh, I'm sure he is. Yeah, I'm sure. Oh, no, there he is. Yeah, no, he doesn't have me blocked. I think he must have a different... Oh, that's why I'm searching for the wrong thing.
Were you not spelling his name backwards?
Well, no, that's only the name. That's actually not his handle. His handle is something hard to SODUTW or something like that. I don't even know what that stands for. Right. But
what does it all mean?
Yes, who knows? Yeah, no, he doesn't block me. Yeah. He's still the IWC community leader. And
is he?
Read about in blogs and touted about in touts, yeah. And he's...
He's probably on tout.
He probably
he's
is.
Tout.
Should check his LinkedIn page.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
That's so good.
Hey,
that's
one of
great.
These days I may one key piece of
Yeah, you made me sound clear from earlier. So yeah. All we heard was AEW. That's it. Have at it.
Well, one piece of dirty laundry we haven't had the chance to talk about since the news came out, I believe, at least on this show, I think we talked about it on the Hashtag Miranda show, was the news of Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins dating. That became public. They shared that on their Twitter accounts. And then WWE jumped on board because they want to be cool and, you know, break the fourth wall and break kayfabe and all those other important things. And one thing I've been finding pretty interesting is that they have incorporated Becky into Seth's kind of stories, whether it's insults that are hurled at him, which are kind of funny. And then this week, Becky went with him to the local medical facility after he got pretty beaten up by Brock. So definitely interesting with that Becky's being kind of incorporated there. But yet, Seth has not crossed the line to any of Becky's stories, which I want to keep it that way. But something that we just hadn't had the chance to talk about, kind of interested in how much you care or don't care about this, Patrick.
I care.
You care?
I totally care. It's your dirty laundry. something Becky Lynch, Seth Rollins dating, not in storylines.
Yes, I think that's something. The consensus of fans that we just don't want it to blend too much in. But again, WWE seems to be, you know, they've had a photo gallery already of them.
Oh yeah.
They do. But if you know, this one I think was a pretty big deal for that. As fans, you know, we started to see these, you know, little hints here and there. They sat next to each other during the Hall of Fame ceremony.
Yeah, they were a pretty big rumor. Because that's the thing I found interesting, if you want to compare it to Charlotte and Andrade. Like, they're like, yeah, we're dating. And that was, like, the first I'd heard of it. Whereas with Seth and Becky, like, I feel like whispers were kind of floating around. Like, it was like, are they, aren't they, are they, aren't they? For the record, we both know that Charlotte and Andrade's photo shoot will be way bigger than anybody else.
Of course.
Be like 7,000 slides.
Because they love having pictures taken of themselves. That's why.
Jesus Christ. Yes.
Yeah.
More than
anything. And you know what? They're a gorgeous couple. Yes. I mean, they're a beautiful couple. They have glistening muscles. They're glamorous. You know.
Plastic, yes. Lots of injections.
Oh, come on now.
High cheekbones. Yeah. Oh.
Yes, so. Made higher by injections.
Right.
Hey, come on now. Come on. No judgment here.
We're not judging.
There's judgment.
Pointing out. Okay, bad.
I'm judging. Like, whatever. I'm on it. Totally good.
The second piece of dirty laundry that I have, this one hurts a little bit, earlier this, and you know what I'm going to talk about, if it's going to hurt me to say this, you probably saw online that Finn Balor confirmed this on his Twitter account, not directly, but he was, I believe, on Fox Sports broadcast during some kind of football league, soccer more, like for those non-American fans. He was at some event. He was being interviewed by one of their reporters, and during that segment, he confirmed he was dating the reporter. Her name is Veronica Rodriguez with Fox Sports. I think she also did some work with WWE in Latin America last year or the year before, but he is currently off the market, which, you know, good for them. She's very, very pretty, and they seem very happy. But, I mean,
wow,
yeah, that kind of sucks.
I could hear the resentment in your voice there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
she's
very
pretty.
She is, which sucks, too.
She's a little catty over there, huh?
Yeah, I know. This is really my life.
Next thing you know, you're going to be in a homewrecker angle. Call up Mandy Rose and tell you what to do.
Oh,
yes,
please do.
Yeah, I did it.
Yeah.
Oh, stop it, Greg.
He went there. But no, I mean, it is really, really nice when you, again, get to have wrestlers being able to talk about that part of their lives at their pace, you know, when they like, at their discretion. So, you know, as a fan and a lover of Finn Balor, does it hurt? Yes. But as someone who, you know, wants people to be happy and no matter what, you know, wants to see love succeed, even though it can be a work, I'm happy for both of them.
I want love to succeed, but secretly it's a work. Like,
yes.
That's what I'm hearing.
That's been a thing.
That's been a thing for a while.
I want to go back to what you talked about with Becky and Seth's relationship being used on television and people not being so happy about it and all that. So I pulled up the WWE job listing that, I'll be honest with you, and I'm not saying this to toot my own horn or whatever. Four different people have sent me this job listing recently, and I don't think they've read the qualifications because I don't qualify for this job of writer for WWE. And when you go under the qualifications, of course, you got 5 years professional writing. And the last one is blogs, which I could probably do. You know, I don't have professional TV staff experience, however, but it's only a plus. The fourth bullet point or qualification is my favorite. No, I'm sorry. The third, writing and directing reality television, a plus. Like, in a lot of ways, I think that's what they view themselves as, is a reality TV show. That's the way they shoot it. That's the way they present it. It's a reality show about wrestling. In fact, I think if they went fully into that and let the show happen while they kind of covered it, I think Raw would be even better. But people would hate it even more. I would love it, but people would hate it even more. But I like the business side of the business. By the way, the first thing you need to do, one of the ways you can apply for that job is by signing in with LinkedIn. So there you go. But
hey, that's how you get all the scoops. LinkedIn.
That's what they are. Scoops.
That super easily hacked website. Awesome.
Yeah, is it? They're all easily hacked. Right. In fact, the only one that hasn't been hacked yet is ours. Now I said that out loud, which is really stupid. So now
challenge accepted.
Yeah, we have Miranda. Miranda's gonna hack into the chair shot.
Like 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure the show will be off the air in a couple minutes because I said that. But that's the direction they're going in. That's what people want to see. Again, outside of sports, the one show that challenges Raw every Monday night is a reality show. Like, this is what people want to see. So we're going to transition into a new topic, though. It's about names. So I'll just play a guy's name a couple times.
Here comes the big dog. The big dog, Roman Reigns. The big dog. And we kick off Monday Night Raw live tonight in Phoenix, Arizona with the big dog.
Because some information came out today about some names that have been changed in NXT. And I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but it just really struck me. And so I wanted to present you with some of the names, all of them actually, just because. So these are NXT talent name changing. Now, the first one is Adrian. I think it's Jod. I don't know. Miranda, you might know. I know you're not Brazilian, but anyway.
Double check.
It's been changed to Arturo Ruas, R-U-A-S. That's the first one. Adrian, by the way, Jowd is his real name. The next one is Jesse Alabon. That's her real name, is now Desi Kamea. The third one, Luke Menzies, former rugby player, is now Ridge Holland. Now, all three of these talents have been on television or been on NXT under these original names. They haven't really held prominent roles, though. Trevor Lee of Impact and independent wrestling fame is now Cameron Grimes. And one of my personal favorites, Eric Bugenhagen, is now Rick Boogs. And, of course, you know, people are – see, you guys laugh. I think that's perfect. I kind of love it. Because he plays air guitar. Like, Rick Boogs is absolutely perfect for this guy, even though he's the one guy that they could take off his first name, and it would be even better if his name was just Bugenhagen. But it's
– too many syllables.
Everyone's up in arms, and they're joking about their WWE random name generator and everything. To me, all five of these are better names than what they had.
I don't like the Cameron Grimes for Trevor. I don't know. I think it is hard to, when you've already been known by a name And I understand WWE wants to change it, wants to re, you know, shape you and whatnot. But I just, to me, that just doesn't quite click. I don't know. I see how they take a longer name and shorten it. It almost seems like they took a shorter name and made it longer. I don't know if that's counterintuitive.
I'm gonna speak four words on this.
Okay.
I do not care.
Okay.
Like it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. Like it's not. It's an A. Like it's a stage name.
Agree.
Like it's just,
yeah, it is.
Like that's what it is.
It is.
You just read a position description talking about the illusion that is this programming. That's their character name. And I'll tell you what, it's worked out pretty well for Drake Maverick.
Well, it's funny you say that. So I wanted to present you guys with a few names. And I wanted to talk about those names. And I got four, actually. And you know, given the choice, knowing what we know today, I'm not asking us to go back 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. Knowing what we know right now, present day, June 4th, except for Patrick, where's June 5th, 2019, I want to present you with some information and choice. So that one was last, but I'll do him first. So what's better from a WWE television perspective, Drake Maverick or Rockstar Spud? What would you choose if you were WWE?
Drake Maverick, but I also feel like Rockstar Spud could have, like, WWE's just more mad that they didn't come up with that name first. Like, if they would have created that in a bubble.
Well, what do you do with a guy named Spud?
Like you're going to make him a mini
Exactly
Michigan
what
head?
They're
like,
doing now with Drake Maverick. Drake Maverick is a fancy name for a guy not doing a whole lot. He's definitely.
Drake Maverick is such a foppish, as a foppish. Running around like dude has no business being here. He is exactly what Drake Maverick should be.
You
call him Rockstar.
You've used two words on this show that no other podcast will use all week. I don't remember what the first one was. But foppish is the second one.
But you'll go back and listen to the replay. I said it very early in the show.
You did. I don't remember what it is.
No, it's so perfect. Like it's this, you know, stuck up little British dude named Drake Maverick. That's brilliant. Love it.
Yeah, when he came out and introduced himself on 205 Live as Drake Maverick that first time over a year ago, I immediately fell in love with the name. I loved it. So
it is a good name. It is a good name. Not. I'm just saying that you know, WWE can be a little quirky sometimes, and so. But Drake Maverick is a
quirk. So I get it.
I love the quirk.
We know. I know, especially. Yeah. But. Yeah, so we're gonna chalk that one up for Drake Maverick or Rockstar Spud. And that's the thing. These aren't necessarily bad names. Rockstar Spud's not a bad name. He did just fine in TNA. So option number two. What would you prefer? What do you think is more marketable for WWE? Bray Wyatt or Husky Harris?
Well, go ahead, Miranda.
No, Bray Wyatt, that has taken him a long way than Husky Harris, and I do like a bit of a reference to that at the Firefly during the Firefly Funhouse skit this week.
Everything on that skit is a reference to something. Like
everything.
It's just amazing, from Abby to you know, now with Evil Vince is just amazing. And again, never ever complain about Vince McMahon to me again, because he obviously knows. Can't say Vince is out of touch when he lets that happen. And by the way, just because, you know, anybody who wants to say it's in response or whatever, those were all filmed in a matter of a couple of days months ago. So you can't, you know, pretend that they just suddenly came up with this idea and did that. Like, the guy who directed them on Twitter has talked about them. And so, yeah, it's – and Bruce Pritchard hinted at what's coming on those. So those have been around for a while. Next one. This one is for Miranda. What's the more marketable name for WWE? I'll reverse the order this time. Fergal Devitt or Finn Balor?
Oh, man. Yes. You know, I was surprised to realize that was the original name. When I first heard it, it just blew blew my mind that that was actually a thing. But I mean, yeah, you got me. Finn Balor is a much, much, much better name.
Now, to be fair, for a lot of his career, he became Prince Devitt. And
Prince
went
Devitt,
by Prince,
yeah,
Devitt.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Balor, to be honest with you. It's not even on my list, but let me just say, would you get more into Patrick Clark or Velveteen Dream?
I mean, come on, man.
Yes. Love the
Okay,
Velveteen.
Last one. This is, you know, goes back to the Ring of Honor days when we talk about fame and fortune. Seth Rollins or Tyler
Black?
Yeah, I
wondered if you were going to do that. I wondered if you were going to pull out Tyler Black. Here's the thing is, I think those names are a push. I really do. Like, I'm used to Seth Rollins. But I don't think Tyler Black, by any stretch of the imagination, wasn't a name they couldn't market.
You're right.
Yeah. They can't own it.
I just think that Tyler Black screams indie wrestler number 7 to me.
Maybe. I don't know.
But also, yeah, I could see where Seth, like, knowing what we know now, Seth Rollins is, you know, a big name. But they're similar in kind of the way that they're both kind of constructed. I kind of agree with Patrick. I feel like they're kind of similar. The only reason that Seth Rollins is a bigger name is because, you know, the man behind the name did all the work to get the name over.
Like true story. If you hadn't rattled off Tyler Black versus Seth Rollins, it's actually been on my mind throughout this whole segment.
Right.
Like, I was like, I'm going to bring this up. That's about the.
That's
but
fair.
In fairness, like, you look at this, they do this all the time with people, like Sami Zayn, completely different character,
but he's not going to show up and be Rami Sabai, like that's not going to work,
right?
And there are some units to change.
Smaller
ones. Kevin Steen would have been fine in WWE.
Daniel
Bryan.
Yeah,
Bryan Danielson would have been okay. Mm-hmm. That one would have been fine. You didn't have to change some of those.
Right. But that's why I don't think it's such a big deal. It's just not. It's what you do when you go to the WWE. That's something that they're going to want. They're going to want a level of. And on some level, it's a level of control. Like, it's, you know, it's marketing, but it's also owning that name and that character and their representation. So that, for example, when I play my WWE app game that lets me collect wrestlers. I can still have – no, this is true. But I can still have Dean Ambrose.
Like, of course, because they own
Ambrose is in, yeah, Dean Ambrose is in this game.
Well, it's because it was made 18 months ago, but
– but they – like, wrestlers that they want you to forget about that were ever in the WWE, they just sort of disappear. Like, for example, Alberto Del Rio. Was a character on this game, and one day he just was gone and replaced by somebody else with the exact same moveset and information and the exact same level that your Alberto Del Rio character was, except now he's not.
Since you brought it up.
Sure.
Jose Rodriguez or Alberto Del Rio? Which one's more marketable?
Alberto Del Rio. Okay. And that's the character, though, too. Like, I do think that the character is a big part of that.
It's a huge part of it, because there are plenty of names that we don't – you know, years from now, we're like, Sean Spears or Ty Dillinger. Does it really make a difference? No, it doesn't.
Right.
But, you know, that's neither here nor there. But the thing is, it is all about the character. Now, we have the advantage of having done this show since 2011 and having spent a year on the air – with a person who wrestled under the name of Buggy Nova. And then she went to WWE, which is a huge deal at the time. And you know, we like to jokingly take credit for it, even though we can't. Maybe we can. Who knows? It doesn't matter. We'll do it anyway. But when she came back after being in WWE, and we all know the story there, but we talked to her about her name in WWE, and it was Skylar Moon. And she told the whole story about how she picked the name Skylar Moon. Like, talent has a lot to do with this. Like, Finn Balor has talked about what the name means. When Kenta became Hideo Itami, he talked about why he picked that name. Like, I bet Ridge Holland probably, or Luke Menzies probably had some input on being Ridge Holland. Trevor Lee and Cameron Grimes. I bet he picked that name.
Yeah, well, I know Dasha Fuentes had an interview just recently where she talked about picking her name Dasha Fuentes, which I didn't realize was kind of her on-screen character. She talked about the process of putting down, you know, a list of different names for them to mm-hmm. look at and approve. And they ultimately said, okay, these look good. And luckily the one that she wanted the most on top was the one that she got. So I definitely get a sense of, you know, from what she was saying, what you're saying right now as well, that people get to kind of create different names and kind of see what the company is for or against. They have input. But again, I think that was just changes for people. And so when you get used to someone's name and then they change it, it will take a while to get used to it. How do people react to change at first? Usually not that great. Even if
right.
it's a minute change, even if it's something that really at the end doesn't matter, I think in human nature it's like, oh, why are you doing that? I just got used to it. So, you know, it will all fade away. Everything will be fine. But I can understand initially human nature is, you know, shock, surprise, and almost, why are you doing this?
Agree 100%. Look, just to humor me, one more, just for me. What's better, Kayla Becker or Kayla Braxton?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, come on.
Right.
Yeah.
It's so obvious.
So.
Yeah, it's Braxton.
You just can't do it. I mean, it's all perfect. All right, look. We're way over. Patrick O'Dowd did afford us the opportunity to have him on the show longer today, so we appreciate that. Patrick O'Dowd, because we have...
Dude, I have no idea what you just said there.
Yeah, you just chopped up, buddy. Chopped. You just chopped. Ooh.
What happened here?
Chopped.
We lost the Greg DeMarco on the Greg
oh,
DeMarco.
Oh no, the Greg DeMarco. Gosh, got kicked off of his own show. Is that ironic?
Wouldn't be the first time.
No.
Don't you think?
No.
It's like rain on your wedding day.
Well.
It's like that free ride when you've already paid.
It's a good advice that you just didn't take.
Yeah. Who would have thought?